So as I said, we've been in this series called Onward, and we've been talking about this journey to follow Jesus and what does that look like, the mission of becoming and making disciples. And we talked about that we go onward by focusing on Jesus, that the vision can be, bad vision can hinder the mission that we're on. And so and a lot of things that happen, we get very distracted by the things of this world. Budgets sometimes are the things we go, well, we can't pursue that vision because of our budget, rather than we're going to pursue this vision and our budget will follow because God will fill the gaps. And we talked about that last. Then we talked about prayer, and prayer is the fuel of vision. Last week, we talked about moving onward in engagement, that we engage in the mission of God, and he works powerfully through us, because nothing can stop the Lord from working, whether by many or by few. Now, that all sounds well and good, and we nod our heads, and we say, yeah, sign me up, but for the majority of us, that's as far as we know to go. We don't know how to go further than that. And it's not because we don't want to move. It's because I think that we look at it and we go, the task is monumental. How am I going to do this? And so we freeze and we don't move. So last September, Mary and our family welcomed in our fur baby, Ash. Ash is a golden retriever. And I've only grew up in the South, where we had no stairs. I mean, there were steps to get out of the house, but there was no staircase. So I had no experience with training a dog to go up and down the stairs. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go up the stairs and he will follow me. And he just stared at me. And he walked away. So I thought, let me bring him to the top and get him to go down. He didn't break a leg, but it was a little bit of a tumble. We were worried, and he would just freeze at the top of the stairs. He would get here and just look at you, and then he would fuss at you and sit there. And finally, he figured out, oh, if I just do one step at a time. So he would tick-tum, tick-tum. And now he's like a lion, so he's just like four at a time. But it was an experience that I hadn't thought about before. And I've thought about that dog a lot. Well, I think about him a lot because he's the first thing I see usually in the morning, because he's right there. And we have a history of talking about big things, and we use big words, and yet we make them seem very unattainable. So we use words like discipleship and evangelism because they are biblical, and these are things that every follower of Jesus should be about, but we make the task seem extremely monumental, and that it seems dead on arrival. I want to be a disciple. I want to do disciple things, but sometimes that feels so overwhelming. And so I don't know about you, but I focus on the whole staircase instead of just going, what is my first step? What is my next step? And we never grow, and we never move because the whole staircase just makes things very scary. And so this morning, I just want to give you some practical ways that you and I can move onward. And I'm calling this one, we've been talking about onward through focus, through prayer, through engagement. And this one is one at a time. And I wanted to share a few things that I thought about this week. The first thing is that we move onward one day at a time. When Jesus is teaching his disciples in what we call the Sermon on the Mount, he says these words in Matthew chapter 6. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you're going to eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single day to your life, a single hour to your life? And jumping to verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus says, don't spend your time worrying about coming days. Don't worry about what tomorrow will bring. Does that mean we shouldn't make plans? No. No, I don't think that's what it means. What Jesus is saying, don't be careless about provisions. He's not saying that, or plans, but rather he is saying, He's not saying don't care about your provisions or your plans. What he's instead saying is just be carefree and that you're not worrying about things. Because what we worry about shows what we serve. What is the thing that you wake up in the morning and you first think about? Bank account? What's going on in politics? Job emails? If we're afraid to move onward because of finances, that shows which God we serve. If we're anxious about moving onward because we're afraid of rejection, that shows us our God. We need to trust that God is the creator and the sustainer of all life. And we need to embrace the mission that God has given us today. So it's no secret that I'm not a massive lover of country music. Those of you who know me best know that I find great fun in making fun of some of the titles. A couple of years ago, Ken Burns, the director, did a project on the history of country music. And some of those titles in those songs were just fantastic. It's a wonderful documentary. You should watch it. Everyone should, even if you don't like country music. But I wanted to share some of the most terrible country music titles that I've ever heard. Here you go. Number one, I Still Miss You, Baby, But My Aim's Getting Better. That's a, if here, how about this one? If my nose was running money, honey, I'd blow it all on you. Can slow dance to that song. I'm so miserable without you, it's like having you here. This was a hit. If the phone don't ring, you'll know it's me. This is one that I'm sure charmed the ladies. Her teeth were stained, but her heart was pure. These are real titles, by the way. Now, this is my favorite one. I believe this was Loretta Lynn, but I might be wrong. You're the reason our kids are ugly. Followed by D-I-V-O-R-C-E. In 2004, one of the most famous country music songs of that year came out, written by Tim McGraw. Tim wrote this song as his father, Tug McGraw, died. He wrote it that same year. And his dad died, and the song is based on a conversation that he had with his dad the night before his dad died. And his dad explained to him what his time in life was like, where he knew he didn't have much time left and he was going to die. And then he writes this in verse 2. He said, I was finally the husband that most of the time I wasn't. I became a friend would like to have, and all of a sudden going fishing wasn't such an imposition. And I went 3 times that year I lost my dad. I finally read the good book, and I took a good, long, hard look at what I'd do if I could do it all again. And then he sings this part of the title of the song, and I lived deeper, and I spoke sweeter, and I gave forgiveness I'd been denying. And he said, someday I hope you get the chance to live like you were dying. So when you don't have much time left, things tend to get put in focus, don't they? Most of us live like we have plenty of time, so what do? Well, we don't really think too much about today. We think about tomorrow. Oh, I'm going to go do this tomorrow. And we have these good intentions, and we have these promises of what tomorrow will be like, of what we're going to do down the road. Before we know it, our time has come and gone. My mother-in-law is ALS. It is a disease that will take her life, and she knows this. And one of those most amazing things about what she's going through right now is the amount of pure joy that she is showing. Mary's dad said, I've never seen her like this. It's because she knows that every moment right now is precious. In a world where all of us can get wrapped up into what tomorrow holds, Jesus says, focus on today. And when we take it one day at a time, we are saying, God, we trust you in this moment that you have and you are and you will move. Something else I think that is important for us is to focus on one opportunity at a time. The church in Ephesus was in for a very difficult mission. The city of Ephesus was once considered the most important port city because of its trading and its location in the Mediterranean. Pagan worship was rampant in the city as it was the home location for the Temple of Artemis. It was one of the seven wonders of the world, and it was a very difficult place to be a follower of Jesus. You think it's tough now? It's no different than it was back then. A little easier here in the United States. And this is a people that Paul writes a letter to. And he encourages them and us on how we move onward with intentionality, one opportunity at a time. In Ephesians chapter 5, he writes this in verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Paul, be careful. That's a phrase that happens a lot around my house. Be careful. You're kicking the ball. Be careful. I know that you're wrestling, but one of you is going to be hurt. You're going to knock over the TV. Be careful. God says it to us as his children. Be careful. Make the most of every opportunity. Don't be careless. Paul is trying to create in the church of Ephesus and in us today a sense of urgency as we live our lives. This phrase, make the most, was a phrase they would use in the marketplace. You only had so much money, and so you wanted to get the most bang for your buck. So make the most of what you have. In fact, the King James translates that, redeem the time. Buy back the time. And I think for most of us, this is a reminder we need because we can live sometimes like we have an unlimited amount of time to spend, but all we only have is this one life. You've heard the phrase, you only live once, right? YOLO. I always thought it was always better to be YODO. You only die once. So go out and live, but my college students back in the day called me a nerd and I stopped using that. But our time is limited. The Phillips paraphrase puts it this way. It says, make the best use of your time. Psalm 90 says, teach us to number our days, Lord, so we can gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 39, Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. And David says, Lord, let me just stay focused on the fact that my time here on earth is limited. And Paul is saying, in every moment, in every conversation, in every chance encounter, every day at work, no matter what you do at work, is a time and opportunity to make the most of it. Paul would later say this in his letter to the Colossians. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And we have a vast array of talents and jobs in this church. Engineers, teachers, government employees, military personnel, each one of you has a unique place where God has placed you. It's no mistake that you are doing what you are doing. And I know that in most of those environments, it would be awkward and probably get you fired if you stood up on a table and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Also, side note, it's really awkward too when you're sitting with a coworker and you go, do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior? That will suck the air out of the room real quick. But don't neglect the fact that God has uniquely placed you in a job where you can be salt and light. And there are a lot of things that can distract us. And Paul reminds us, here's how you deal with the distraction. Later on in that chapter in verse 19, he says, always give thanks. When you give thanks in all circumstances, hear what it does. It focuses you on what God is doing. It helps you pay attention to the way that God is working in your life. And so Paul says, always give thanks. And then you'll see the opportunities instead of the obstacles. It's interesting here that the word for opportunity translated is the word time in the King James Version. Now, there are a couple of ways that Greek words that are used for time, and I don't usually do this, but I'm going to share this with you this morning. One of those words is hora, which is where we get the word hour. And it's, we understand what an hour is. The other word is chronos, which is where we get our word chronological. It is a set period of time, but it is in chronological order. And yet the word is not hora, and it's not chronos here. The word is kairos. You may have heard that word before. And it refers to an appointed, specific, fixed time. And here's what this really means. It says the right move at the right time. And that's how we have these opportunities. You're filled with the Spirit. And you see life through God's words. You're always giving thanks. And then God allows you to make the right move at the right time. It's David standing before Goliath. It's Elijah standing on Mount Carmel. It's Esther speaking before the throne of the king. It's Peter throwing his nets behind him and following this man that he's only heard about. It's Zacchaeus climbing down from the tree. It's Jesus saying, "Will be done, God." Make the most of every opportunity. And something else I think is helpful is moving onward one person at a time. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells these three stories about something lost. And the focus of all these stories isn't necessarily on the lost item as much as it is on the owner. So he tells a story about a shepherd who loses one sheep and he leaves all the rest to go find it. He tells a story about a lady who loses all of these, has 10 copper coins, and she loses one and she turns the house upside down till she finds it. And he tells a story of this two boys that a father had. And one goes off and he gets lost in the clubs, and the other gets lost in the pews. And when he comes home, the father throws a big party and he invites both the boys, because the father doesn't care if you're lost in a pig pen or if you're lost in a church. He cares that everyone comes to the party. Because the one true God cares about every single one person. 1 Timothy tells us that this is good. And it pleases God our Savior, God who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. Peter would also say something similar. He says, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. He's not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Everyone is important to God. When Jesus begins his ministry, he invites disciples to follow. And aside from the brothers, James and John, he calls each of them one by one, one at a time. And when he ends his earthly ministry, he says to them, "Now you go and make disciples." And we tend to think of this, I don't know why, I guess because of what we see in Acts chapter 2, when they preach the gospel and 2,000 are baptized, and we tend to think that's the only way it's going to happen. But you know what I love about this church? When someone is baptized, you don't sit there and go, "Amen, yes." You stand and cheer, because you recognize how significant one person giving their life to Jesus is. Jesus tells them, "All right, you've been with me, now it's your turn. Go help other people make this step." And as a church, this is really significant for us. This commitment that we're not just going to be a come and see church. And we're going to be a go and tell church. We're not going to be just a church that says, "Hey, we want you to come check us out." We want to even go further than that. We want to expand beyond these walls. We want to reach people. Because to do all the other things and to not take the step of expansion is to miss the point. God is calling us to a life of faith, one that trusts that he is working ahead of us. See, we always tend to think that we use phrases like, "We are the hands and feet of Jesus," and "We are the hope of the world." And I know we mean well with that. But what we are saying when we do that is that God's mission depends on me. And God can't work without me. And I don't think that that's true at all. Our God does not need us to do what God needs to do. What he is done has privileged us to come alongside him and join him in that mission. We are uniquely privileged because we are witnesses to the work of God in all things. God is working in the world. Here's the reality. A lot of churches and a lot of Christians love the status quo more than they love lost people. And we love how it is more than how it could be. And Jesus has called us as followers to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that's how he described it. He talked about the kingdom of God expanding in such a way that it would storm the gates of hell, and hell couldn't prevail against it. And I don't know about you, but religion got you bored? Hey, let's go storm the gates of hell. That sounds pretty amazing. I love The Lord of the Rings. And one of my favorite episodes in The Return of the King, one of the favorite stories is when they come to the gates of Mordor, and Aragorn just steps out there and is like, for Frodo, and they just take off. That for me is the kingdom of God storming the gates of hell. That's an amazing adventure. It's not safe, and it's not comfortable, and it's risky, but oh my word, it is worth it. And as followers of Jesus, we've been invited from the front lines, to the greatest cause in history. And Jesus has promised that he's going to empower us, every one of us, by the power of his Spirit, to be his witnesses. He said, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. And what that means is this, that in your spiritual DNA is the capacity to reproduce. We tend to think, well, I'm not really gifted in evangelism. Maybe you aren't, but the Holy Spirit is. And the Holy Spirit lives within you. And it's, I don't know about you, but people full of the Holy Spirit see a world full of people who need Jesus. And my prayer is that we are looking for one, and that we are looking for all. And so who's your one? Who's the one person that you want to come to know, you want to see them come to see Jesus this year? Maybe it's someone who's never known Jesus. Maybe it's someone that you know that used to know Jesus and walked away. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's your dad, your mom, sibling. Maybe it's a coworker. If we want to move onward as a church, we have to be intentional about sharing the good news of Jesus. I want to share the good news of a risen Savior who conquered death so that we could experience freedom, and I want to invite other people in on that. And so today, in your chair, there are these small little cards. And you probably came in, you're like, what in the world are we doing? And here's what I want you to do. And this isn't just for adults, this is for kids too. High school, elementary. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to take that card. Who is the one person you want to see come to see Jesus this year? And I want you to think about that name and write that down. You say, I don't really have a name. That's okay. And what we're going to do in just a second is we're going to write those names and we're going to say a prayer over those names. And this card is small enough, you can put it in the back of your phone like this. You can put it in your bathroom mirror. You can put it on your dashboard like you used to do your girlfriend's picture. Put that there. Just don't cover the fuel gauge. And what I want to challenge you to do is every day begin by just praying for this person. Pray for that name. Set an alarm. Hello. It's going to make it really short now. What I want to challenge you to do is set an alarm on your phone, and every day at that same time, just pray for that person. Look, I forget. I'm like, I'm going to pray for you, and then I forget. Let's be intentional. And it starts with praying for them. And throughout the year, we're going to provide opportunities for you to invite people to things. It's not just about the invite, but they come here, and it's an opportunity to meet other people. We're going to have a marriage seminar. Invite them to come with you. We're going to have Easter. We have all these other opportunities. And look, I know that we live in Northern Virginia, and people say, well, we live so far away from the church. I feel awkward inviting them because we're so far away. If it's important to you, it's going to be important to them. Because look, I'm just going to be honest for a second. We drive over almost 2 hours to go to sporting events. What is most important to you? Show that, and they will see that. So take a moment and write down that name. And if you don't have one, like I said, that's okay. And let's just pray. God, we all have people in our lives that we intersect with, friends, family, coworkers, that we want to see grow deeper into relationship with you. Maybe it's our spouse or our kids. Father, as these names that are on this paper, or maybe they're names that aren't written yet, God, we're praying that you will work through us to reach them one at a time. Father, we pray that you will go before us, surround us, help us to be aware of the opportunities ahead, to look at each day as today that you give us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And throughout the year, I'm going to keep asking you about those. Hey, how's your one? How's your prayer time going with your one? And I'm not going to tell you that it's not intimidating, and I'm not going to tell you that you won't see some doors closed in front of your face. What I am going to say is that I fully believe that God is moving ahead of us. And one day at a time, one opportunity at a time, one person at a time, we're going to move onward. So I want to invite you to stand with me. And I want to pray a blessing over you as we end. Next week, there's a guest speaker, and you'll hear more about that next Sunday, because I don't want to shock you before you get here. It's not Tim Tebow, so, but he'll talk to you about these same things that we've been talking about. I want to bless you, pray a blessing over us this morning as we stand and as we sing this song. If you don't know Jesus, maybe it's a good time for you to come to know him. And if you do know Jesus, but you've been far away, come home. Father, thank you for Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I pray a blessing over our church family as we go forward and move onward. 2023 has already been challenging for us, deaths, but also it's been so joyous, some of the ways that we've been able to partner with you and working. God, keep moving in us. Keep stirring within us a desire to move onward. One day, one opportunity, one person at a time. Father, I pray a blessing over our family here, and I pray that you will move as only you can. And you're the one that will get the glory and not us. Father, we all desperately want to be yours. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's sing.